Pleasantry, written by Dictionary Writes and read by Wilfriede0815. Fandom, elementary. Relationship, Sherlock Holmes / John Watson. Rating mature. No archive warnings apply. Summary. Physical contact is crucial to the human species. For some time after their call has ended, Sherlock sits straight back in the armchair, his gaze directly forward, focused on a fixed point in the middle distance. He is aware of how he must look, face lit from beneath by the light of his laptop screen, but he lacks within him the wherewithal to make himself move, just yet. He's aware of noise. Next door, Trent is cooking something in his kitchen, laughing with the woman he is cooking for. He hears the quiet bubble and hiss of an experiment in the next room. Outside, a car door slams, and the car drives away. A taxi. He does not move when Joan re-enters the brownstone, hearing one door close and then the other. Her steps are light on the wood board, even though her shoes are heavy, and when she steps into the hall, she hangs up her coat, then hesitates, watching him. "You look creepy when you do that, you know," Joan says. Her voice is even, but she holds her hands in front of her belly as she steps closer to him, not giving in to the urge to actually fiddle with one of the rings on her hand, but letting her thumb and forefinger hold it, as though she's gearing up to. "I do run a computer program to reduce the amount of blue light that radiates from the monitor," Sherlock says, although he knows that this is nonsense conversation, on both their parts, a distraction from what they both know to be true. Once upon a time, he found this sort of convention, social nicety, to be inconvenient, grating, infuriating even. He still does, but not when Joan prompts it. Joan is the exception to all things. "It should be somewhat warm." "It's not the light," Joan says. "It's how still you go. The only thing that's moving is the engine in your head, but from the outside, I can barely see you breathe." He thinks for a moment that she will sit on the arm of the chair, and he does not hold his breath, but he anticipates it, wonders if she will do so, if she will lower herself onto the arm and then lean in toward him, perhaps trace her surgeon's hand delicately over the side of his cheek, tracing the stubble there. Joan does no such thing. She flicks on the light and sits on the sofa across from him, her knees apart, her fingers loosely tangling together and resting between them. It's an open posture, one indicative of a conversational partner who is eager to listen. It is so often the posture Joan adopts with him. "Do you want me to ask?" "I'm sure I don't know," Sherlock says, closing the laptop shut and setting it aside. "Fiona," Joan says softly. "It was direct," Sherlock says. "I voiced my apprehensions. She responded in kind. She said that it would be foolish to presume that we should be compatible as romantic partners simply because we share a neurotype." "How do you feel?" Joan's expression is open, genuine, and Sherlock is overwhelmed by it, forcing himself to look away. Some moments pass before he replies, "There is a sense of relief, one I'm surprised by myself." "Relief's not uncommon. It's nothing to feel guilty for." "Did I mention feeling guilty?" "No, I'm just saying, I would rather you didn't." Joan does not flinch away, or even blink. "Okay," she says, standing up. He wishes he could touch her. He knows people who touch their friends, freely and with affection. He has no desire to make of his behavior toward Joan a romantic prospect, although the thought crosses his mind not irregularly. Nor does he wish to alter the perimeters of their relationship to allow for a sexual one. But he does wish he could touch her. He wishes he could reach for her, touch her hips, her back, lean his face against her breast or the crook of her neck, feel her arms on his shoulders, about his neck, feel her fingers in his hair. He wants to hold her. He would like to be held. The sensation is not uncommon to him. Wanting to be close to Joan is as common as thinking of her. It is comfort he desires now. In the abstract, he is aware of this. He is aware of the physical impulse for the desire of human contact, particularly skin-to-skin contact, a desire that is separate to sexual desire. He is aware that he is like a child, wanting for its teddy bear in the aftermath of an upset. Is there anything I can say, can do? Joan asks. She doesn't normally. She would ordinarily lose patience with him by this point and retire to bed, intent upon slumbering for the many hours she is accustomed to, but not tonight, it seems. Tonight, she's aware of how sensitive he must be in the aftermath of his break from Fiona. She cares. In the past, Sherlock says, slowly, with delicacy, you have prescribed ice cream as a balm for the wounds of love. I have, Joan says, slowly, and when he looks up at her face, he sees the slight shift of her mouth, the smile warming on her lips. It's a beautiful smile. Of course, Joan is beautiful, but the beauty in it is not what is the most important about it. He sees the affection in it, the glitter in her eyes he so often sees aimed at him, so accustomed as he has come, over time, to this fondness she displays for him. I can get some ice cream. We could watch a film, Sherlock says. He sees the reticence immediately, and the shift of Joan's hands and shoulders before it reaches her face. Sherlock, you needn't stay well up into the night if you don't wish to, Sherlock says, speaking rapidly. I might move one of the televisions to the foot of your bed. There's no reason you can't fall asleep with the television on. I would, of course, retreat when the film ended. Joan stares down at him, and he expects the accusation to come, that he's making up some excuse to weasel his way into her bed, not content with rousing her from it at any hour that pleases him. He anticipates the rejection, the quiet assurance that it isn't exactly appropriate. He waits for her to say no. Okay, she says, finally. You get the ice cream, and I'll bring one of the TVs into my room. You pick the movie. All right, Sherlock says, and he listens to the quiet click of her heels as Joan leaves the room and descends the stairs, slowly pulling himself from the armchair and moving to the other room, removing the nearest tub of ice cream from the freezer and beginning to fill bowls, barely even aware of the flavor until he smells it, the scent of caramel settling on the air. He pours a little chocolate syrup into Joan's bowl, too sweet for his own tastes, and then takes two spoons. The USB drive already has numerous films on it, and he picks it from its ordinary place in the fruit bowl, slowly ascending the stair. He hears the running water shut off, and he watches Joan step from the bathroom. She's wearing the patterned pajamas again, the white ones, with cityscapes on them. They are loose and comfortable, and although he does not think he would like the fabric himself, the silken element a distraction, he can see that she is comfortable in them. He will buy her another pair, he thinks, for Christmas or her next birthday. He follows her to the threshold and then hovers as she clambers into her bed. The television is already on, waiting, and the balls are both cool in his palms. Joan has numerous pillows on her bed, more than usual. She has removed some from the closet, spares, and put them all against the headboard. Now, resting back against them, she looks quite comfortable. He has overstepped. It is too much of an ask for him to insinuate himself in Watson's bed, to ask for her physicality in such a way, particularly in the aftermath of his breakup with Fiona, when Joan is most likely to feel sympathy for him. You gonna stand there the whole night? No, Sherlock says, and steps forward, handing her the ice cream balls, then moving to put the USB drive into the back of the television. You're wearing your clothes to bed? I can wait for you to put on pajamas. Yes, excuse me. When he returns to Joan's bedroom, Joan is flicking through the offer of films on the USB stick, her ice cream untouched. You needn't have waited for me, he says. The ice cream's for your benefit, she murmurs. You wouldn't be annoyed if I started without you? No. He is eminently careful about taking a step forward. He does own pajamas, wears now a cloth t-shirt and a pair of flannel trousers. It's rare that he sleeps for long enough to justify the wearing of them, and not since he was a semi-functional addict has he seen the need to potter about the house wearing them. Peeling back the corner of the duvet, he slides slowly beneath its surface into the soft expanse of Joan's bed. Her sheets are Egyptian cotton, soft and faintly perfumed by Joan's shampoo, Joan's laundry detergent, by Joan. He climbs in, carefully settles himself back against the pillows, takes the ball when Joan puts it in his lap. Apparently sensing he's unwilling to speak, Joan makes a selection. Some like it not. A pedestrian choice, if not a bad one. And as the movie begins, Sherlock quietly eats his ice cream, and Joan eats hers. The lights are already dimmed down to almost nothing, meaning the vast majority of the light comes from the flicker of the small television screen. And yet Sherlock is aware of every hint of detail that light gives him. Joan does not look at him. She remains concentrated on the film and on her ice cream, and he remains concentrated on her. She sinks right back into the pillows, her body relaxed, her breathing even. He wants to ask if she is uncomfortable, and yet he knows it is irrational. All the evidence points to her being quite comfortable. And why shouldn't she be? She trusts Sherlock. She trusts him immensely, and there is no reason she should feel concerned, feel uncertain, about having Sherlock in her bed. There is nothing lascivious about his feeling toward her, that she knows of. He does not know that he desires to be close to her, that he wants... He is unsure, precisely, as to what he wants. The fact grates on him. "I have not been entirely frank about my intentions," Sherlock says. He blurts it out, actually. It is clumsy. "Uh-huh," Joan says. "Uh-huh." It means, "Yeah, I guess that was coming," or something like it. "I do not harbor sexual desire for you," Sherlock says. "That is, well, I am not opposed to sex with friends, but this, in any case, is not intended as a sexual overture." "I figured that when you didn't drag the sex blanket up here with you." "I've asked you not to call it that." Joan is smiling. She's not smiling at him exactly. She's smiling as she sets her ice cream ball aside, wiping her mouth and laying slowly back against her pillows, turning to look at him. "You've just broken up with your girlfriend," Joan says quietly. "Your only normal girlfriend ever. You're upset. You don't want to be on your own. There's nothing wrong about that." "It wasn't merely solitude that deterred me," Sherlock says. His bowl is empty, now, and Joan reaches over, taking it from him, setting it aside. "I wanted..." He trails off, swallowing the rest of the sentence, and then he says, in a very quiet voice, "I find you to be a comforting presence, Watson. I thought that were we to be in bed together, that we might be closer, physically." "You want to be closer," Joan repeats, looking at him. "Physically?" "Physical contact is crucial to the human species," Sherlock says. "In future," Joan says, "you can just ask for a hug." "Very well." She rearranges the pillows, pulling them down so that she can lie down, and he leans back to extricate himself. But she reaches for his arm, her fingers slowly encircling his wrist. Her hand is cool from the ice cream ball, and her thumb rests against his pulse point, pressing slightly between the tendons there. "Look," she says, "we have a weird relationship. This is, honestly, as far as we go, this isn't that weird." "I won't sleep," he says. "Yeah, I know," she mutters. "You have an aversion to sleep." "No, I mean that wearing pajamas I won't be able to," he says. "The sensation of the fabrics will distract me." "You usually sleep naked, yes." "Okay, she says, thoughtful. "We're not quite that weird, yet." "I wasn't suggesting..." "Lie down, Sherlock," Joan says. And Sherlock does lie down. And immediately, Joan shifts forward, sliding one leg between his and collapsing against his chest. He stiffens, waiting for her to move, but she doesn't. She lays her cheek on his chest, using him as little more than a pillow, and after a moment's hesitation, he reaches for the remote and turns off the television, bringing his hands up to wrap loosely about her lower back. "You're not the only one, you know." "Aren't I?" Sherlock asks quietly, staring up at the ceiling. Joan is a warm, pleasant weight on top of him. With all the muscle on her body, she's heavy, and there is a deep satisfaction in the sensation of her weight over his, the pressure of it. Her breaths are slow and even, and when he puts his nose forward, he touches it against her hair, breathes in the scent of her shampoo. Physical contact is crucial for the human species, Joan murmurs, echoing his words back to him. I'm human too, you know.
You know, Sherlock says, I have a great deal of love and affection for you. I know I'm not in the habit of saying so, but I do.
I love you too, Joan says. And after that comes silence. He doesn't sleep. He had said he wouldn't. But he does close his eyes, allows the rhythm of Watson's heartbeat, her breath, to lull him into something meditative, lets himself overturn problem after problem in his head. He ought to use Watson's weight for the sake of conducing himself to thought more often.
Joan, he whispers, sometime before 5 in the morning.
I don't think you've ever called me that before, she mumbles, sleepily.
You've never dug your elbow so painfully into my pancreas before.
Oh, that's all it takes, she giggles, sleepily, but she moves her arm, and she goes slightly stiff, like she's waiting for him to move her, but he doesn't. For once, he lets her decide the hour they rise. He regrets it, obviously, because they loll about until almost 9 o'clock, but it is nice, too. It is pleasant. It is a pleasantry that might bear repeating. The end.